Shalom, welcome to Ask JTF. This is Chaim Ben Pesach. This video is dedicated to a refuah shlema, complete recovery, for Malkah Bat Simcha, and to elevating the souls of Simcha Chazdai, Pesach Vansir, Harab Mir Kahana, Ruven Hoffman, Bari Hoffman, and Yosef Ben Meir. Before we get to our many questions from our great JTFers, what a week. A lot of developments this week, and our Hebrew and English movements are trying to the best of their ability to respond to all these developments in order to try to wake the Jewish people up. We've had massive rioting and stone throwing by Arab Muslim Nazis throughout the land of Israel. People are having a hard time walking down the street or traveling on the highways in many parts of Israel because huge numbers of Arab Muslim Nazis are going out and throwing huge rocks and stones on them, and Jews have been murdered and seriously injured because of these vicious Arab terrorist attacks. And of course, the Israeli government of Benjamin Netanyahu and the Likud and Naftali Bennett and the Jewish Home Party and Shas and all the other parties of the phony right are doing nothing about this problem. We, of course, have always taken the position that the only way to solve this problem is to give soldiers and police shoot-to-kill orders. They must immediately shoot and kill Arab Muslim Nazi terrorists who throw stones. Anyone who throws a stone is a terrorist who is attempting to murder people. Netanyahu himself said so this past week. He said that the Arab stone throwers are terrorists in every respect, and that that what they're doing is trying to murder people, and they have murdered people. But instead of giving soldiers and police shoot-to-kill orders, Netanyahu and the disgusting traitor defense minister of Israel, the so-called defense minister of Israel, Moshe Ya'alon, have been giving them orders to run away, to literally run away when Arab Muslim Nazis throw stones and rocks at soldiers, at police, and at Jewish civilians. So we're trying to wake people up about this problem. You know that our videos reach thousands of Israeli Jews with our message, and I think that's very important. We wish we could reach millions. If we could reach millions, the situation would change. Then we'd have a mass movement. But it's still important that we're planting the seeds for eventually creating a mass movement, because we are reaching thousands and we're changing the minds of thousands of people. That's important. The more people we reach, the better with our message, with our Hebrew videos. We're reaching them on Facebook, we're reaching them on YouTube, and we're reaching them with our Hebrew main page. And the message is very important. We want to reach as many people as possible. In addition to that, the king of Jordan and the dictator of Egypt, Assisi is the dictator of Egypt and Abdullah is the king of Jordan. Yimach shmam v'zichram shem reshaim yirkab. May their names and memories be obliterated. May the name of the wicked rot. These two evil Arab Jew haters have condemned Israel. Have condemned Israel for what Israel is doing on Har HaBayit, on the Temple Mount. Israel's allowing the Arab Muslim Nazis to control the Temple Mount, to murder Jews in Jerusalem. They're not allowing Jews to pray most of the time. Very rare when Jews have a right to pray there, or have a right to go there. They don't have a right to pray there. They're not letting Jews pray, and they're preventing Jews from going up to the Temple Mount. They're giving the Arab Muslim Nazis not only total control over the most sacred part of the land of Israel, the most sacred place in the world, they're not only giving these Arab Muslim Nazi arrogant animals control, but they're allowing them to stone and injure and murder Jews and attack Jews on a daily basis and not even fighting back. And the king of Jordan and the dictator of Egypt are condemning Israel and are threatening Israel, are warning Israel, threatening Israel. We don't like what you're doing in Jerusalem. We don't like what you're doing on Har HaBayit, on the Temple Mount. The Temple Mount being where Beit HaMikdash, where the Holy Temple was in Jerusalem. And so we did a video this past week exposing the King of Jordan and saying, this is the guy that all the Israeli politicians and most of the stupid Jews, all the stupid Jews and the Israeli politicians say, he's a moderate, he wants peace, he's our ally, he's our friend, he's fighting against ISIS, and he's with us against Iran. The fact is, there are Arab dictators who would like Israel to destroy the Iranian nuclear bomb-making program because they're also afraid of Iran. But that doesn't for one minute change the fact that all of these Arab dictators in Saudi Arabia, in Egypt, and in Jordan are as committed to the destruction of Israel and the destruction of the Jewish people as ISIS, which is really the Islamic State. There's no difference in terms of their final goal. The Islamic State, Iran, Hezbollah, Hamas, Fatah, and all the Arab dictators in Jordan, in Egypt, in Saudi Arabia, all of them have one goal in the end, which is to destroy the Jewish people. Their goal may be different for the Arab world. Some of them are more secular, some of them are more religious. They have differences on how they would be ruling the Arab world and who would be in charge of the Arab world. But when it comes to the Jews, there is no difference. When it comes to the infidels, there is no difference. They want genocide. And so we did a video exposing the King of Jordan and showing all the things he's doing to undermine Israel and hurt Israel and complain against Israel to the Europeans, the Americans, the UN, and trying to hurt Israel when Israel isn't even defending herself, isn't even doing anything. And all he does is condemn Israel day and night. And the same thing with the dictator of Egypt. And the Jews always say, oh, these are our friends, these are our allies. What a pathetic generation we have. We are the one voice, unfortunately, in Israel, we're the one voice that stands up and says these things. When it comes to exposing all these Arab leaders and exposing the fact that the Arab world doesn't have any real differences of opinion when it comes to the Jews, they want the Jews dead. They want them murdered. There is no difference of opinion when it comes to the Jews. There are more clever Arabs and there are less clever Arabs. The more clever Arabs who lie to us in English and in Hebrew, but tell the truth in Arabic, even the more clever Arabs openly say in Arabic that they also want to destroy Israel and the Jewish people. But in English and in Hebrew, they lie to us. Whereas the less clever Arabs tell the truth about what they want to do in every language. The more clever Arabs, like the King of Jordan, like the dictator of Egypt, are more dangerous than the less clever Arabs and the less clever Muslims. In Islam, Muslims are required to use taqiyya. Taqiyya means deception in Arabic. Muhammad, the founder of that evil religion, Islam, commanded the Muslims to use taqiyya. And there are Muslim leaders who are using it. And they are more dangerous than the Muslim leaders who tell us the truth about what their genocidal intentions are. So we've done videos exposing this with facts, with information. We put in on the videos, you see copies of articles with, you know, they see pictures of articles from the left-wing Israeli media showing what these Arab leaders that are supposed to be moderate are really doing and really saying about Israel. So they're powerful videos with an important message. It's so important that we reach the people of Israel, that we wake the people of Israel up. It is so essential and so important. And thank God this week we did put out more videos doing that. And we're going to continue. And we're going to try to reach as many people as possible. The one sad thing in all of this is that we're the only ones doing this as far as this issue is concerned. I don't see other people really exposing this the way we are. And we're reaching thousands of people, but we want to reach millions of people. What we're doing is important, but we wish we could do even more. We wish we would have the ability to do even more. Maybe someday, in the near future, I would hope we would get the capacity to do this. We'd get the ability to do this if we had a budget that would enable us to do this. Again, we proved on Facebook, you remember when we had 27,000 likes in only 3 months among Israeli Jews, which is a small country like Israel, 27,000 people joined our Hebrew Facebook page in only 3 months. And then Facebook, of course, took us down because all of our enemies complained about it. The Israeli government complained. When they see us getting strong, that's when they move against us. But if we had a really strong budget, there would be ways around that. And because we wouldn't be promoting a Facebook page which they could take down. Instead, the advertising would be promoting our own Hebrew main page. So if we had a real budget to be able to do that on a major scale, that they can't take down. That, and we could turn into a mass movement if we could do that. So let's hope, God willing, that the day comes when we have the ability to do that. Here in the United States, of course, we had the debate on Wednesday night for the Republican presidential candidates. Donald Trump again proves that he's a disastrous debater, as is Ben Carson. You know, look at the insanity of Republicans supporting Donald Trump and Ben Carson. I mean, terrible debaters, terrible speakers. Neither one of them knows what they're talking about. Neither one of them understands the issues or has any ability to certainly not to be president of the United States. Ben Carson didn't know what he stood for. When they're asking him questions, he was changing in mid-sentence. He was changing his positions. Maybe, yes, probably. I'll think about that. His answers were so pathetic. And Donald Trump saying one thing after another that was blatantly untrue, that people could easily fact check and see that was untrue, lying about the fact that he sought, of course, casinos. He wanted to build gambling casinos in Florida. He lied about that. He said that vaccines cause autism, which is proven medically to be untrue. So he scares people when it comes to vaccines and spreads lies, which can lead to the death of innocent people. I mean, just what an insane world we live in. And these are the Republicans who are better than the Democrats. Even the Republicans are nuts. It's pathetic. It's really pathetic. The one candidate who really tells the truth, of course, is Ted Cruz. And of course, the media now is promoting Carla Fiorina and Marco Rubio. Those are the two that the media loves. Carla Fiorina, we just did a video on her in English, if you've seen it, where we show how HP, when she was the head of Hewlett Packard, which is supposed to be the big thing, that's the big part of her record, that she was the CEO of Hewlett Packard. And when she was the CEO of Hewlett Packard, the stock of Hewlett Packard went down from $55 a share in 6 years while she was CEO. The stock of Hewlett Packard went down from $55 a share to less than $20 a share. They lost almost two-thirds of the value of their stock. That's what a disaster she was. They fired her unanimously. They fired her. They threw her out because she was destroying the whole company. She was a catastrophe. And she's going to run with that business record for president of the United States? Yes, she's a good speaker. She knows how to get up there and make a presentation that convince people who are gullible and who don't know the facts. But her business record is a disaster. She took $100 million for herself, including a $21 million golden parachute. She paid herself $100 million while she fired 30,000 people, laid off 30,000 middle-class, working-class people, and destroyed the company. And the company lost almost two-thirds of the value of its stock. And the company to this day is a disaster because of what she did there, what Carly Fiorina did. In fact, just last week, they announced that they're laying off tens of thousands of more people at Hewlett Packard because they just can't, they still have not recovered from the terrible decision she made in the acquisition of Compaq. She did things that made no business sense. And she's running for president. She's going to run for president on this record. She ran for the Senate, for the U.S. Senate in California, lost by a landslide because the Democrats were able to just show commercials with the facts of the terrible record she has, a terrible business record she has. Now we're going to have her as the Republican nominee for president. Can you imagine the commercials that they ran against her in California? The guy who made those commercials is now the advertising advisor for Hillary Clinton. So he's going to do the same thing to her if she becomes the Republican nominee for president. This is just so crazy. This is so crazy. She would lose by a landslide if she was the Republican nominee because all they have to do is expose what a disaster she was at Hewlett Packard. Before that, she was at Lucent. She was terrible at Lucent. She's been a walking disaster area. And then you have Marco Rubio from the Gang of Eight, of course, who supports... who was the sponsor of the amnesty legislation. He was the guy who was pushing the amnesty legislation after he promised the voters in Florida that he would oppose amnesty. He ran and campaigned against amnesty, and the minute he got in the Senate, he joined with Chuck Schumer and Harry Reid and John McCain and started pushing for amnesty and a pathway to citizenship. By the way, Carly Fiorina supported amnesty and a pathway to citizenship. So these are sellouts, these are phonies, these are unprincipled opportunists. And, you know, Carly Fiorina, you know, she bought herself five jets. She bought herself five private jets and bought herself a $1 million yacht and was living in the lap of luxury while she's laying off tens of thousands of people who work for her and shipping the jobs to China and India, can you imagine what the Democrats would do in campaign commercials with all of that information? Can you imagine? Unbelievable. So this is what we're faced with. And then the Republicans have a great candidate like Ted Cruz. Ted Cruz was never given a chance to speak at the debate. I think they asked him two or three questions in the whole debate. They have completely blocked him out in both debates so far. The biased news media, the biased debate moderators and the biased news media don't speak about him, don't mention him, don't give him any attention, and are doing everything they can just to silence him and block him out. They're blacking him out, they're blacklisting him and not letting him speak. Every time he did speak, he was the best debater, the best speaker, because he is the best debater and the best speaker the Republicans have. But he doesn't have a chance to open his mouth. They're not giving him a chance to speak at all. So hopefully his day will come. We still have time till the February 1st caucuses in Iowa. Let's hope that he does get the attention he needs and that people will see what an impressive, great speaker he is when he does get a chance to actually speak. When he does get a lot of attention and does appear before a big audience, he's very impressive and people love him. So if he's just given this chance to break out, he would have a shot in my view. We'll see. We'll see what happens. We're doing everything we can to help him and promote him. That's what we're doing in the English language movement now, because that's the big thing is the presidential campaign in the United States. That's the big thing that we're trying to influence, because the presidential campaign, obviously, and the presidency has become very critical because we don't have an Israeli government that does the right thing. And we have an Israeli government that act like puppets of whoever the president of the United States is. So we need a president who is going to stop the Iranian nuclear bomb-making program. And Ted Cruz is the only one, in my opinion, who really will be committed to doing that. So that's where we are. We're moving forward, and we're hoping to reach as many people. Again, it's important that all of us work together as a team to make this work, to make this successful. We need your help. When you see us put up Hebrew or English videos, help us promote them on Facebook. Help us promote them on YouTube. Help us promote them on Twitter, everywhere possible. Help us promote our videos and get our message across. It's very important. In addition to that, we need your help on our main page. We want you to be as active as possible because the more active you are, if you put comments on our main page, if you go to our main page and participate, the more people that do that, the more the stronger our position is in the search engines for the main page. So we need you to be active on the main page, and you're going to learn. The great Shlomo does a great job on our main page. JTF.org is our main page, by the way. You just go to JTF.org. You're going to learn a lot. Every day you're going to learn something new on that main page, because every day Shlomo puts new articles on there. Every single day, except when we have Shabbatot, when we have the Jewish Sabbath, and when we have Jewish holidays like Yom Kippur and Rosh Hashanah. Obviously, then Shlomo can't refresh the page with new articles, but aside from those days, every single day Shlomo is there with new articles, new facts, new information, and it is very, very informative. It's really very important. So become active on the main page, join the main page, and help us with the videos. And of course, most of all, we need financial support. The stronger we are financially, the more people we can reach, the better it is for Jews and for Israel. The more Jews we can wake up in Israel and present the facts to them, the realistic truth to them that nobody is giving them and that they haven't gotten since the murder of our great leader, Harav Meir Kahana, Zecher Tzaddik V'Kadosh Livracha, Hashem Yikom Damo, to bring that truth that Rabbi Kahana was bringing to them and to reach thousands of Israeli Jews, as many Israeli Jews as we can, especially young Jews in Israel that we're reaching. Most of our audience in Israel is young. To reach the next generation with the truth and with our message is very, very important. And to try to influence, with our English movement, to try to influence the presidential election here so that we can prevent an Iranian nuclear holocaust, God forbid. Very, very important what we're doing. Help us. Checks, money orders, cash donations sent to the post office box do make a difference. Every donation makes a difference. Every donation helps. God bless the great JTFers that are helping us on a regular basis, generously helping us. God bless you. And if you want, for convenience sake, to do it online with your credit card, that's fine too. You just go to hayamin.org. Hayamin.org is our Hebrew main page, and there's a donate button in English on top. You go to the donate button, click on the donate button. In a couple of minutes, you can very conveniently through PayPal make donations with your credit card online if that's what you prefer. It makes no difference to us, by the way, if you do it online or if you do it through the mail, sending it to our post office box. For us, it makes no difference whatsoever. Whatever is more convenient for you, that's fine, and you're doing a wonderful mitzvah. You're doing something wonderful for the Jewish people, for Israel, for for the world, and to make this a better world. So that's where we stand now. Very busy week, a lot of challenges. We have a lot of things we got to do. The election, as the election gets closer, you're going to see, of course, I think you're going to see our videos getting more and more attention, and you're going to see us playing a bigger and bigger role. And of course, the situation in Israel, because of all that's happening in Israel, of course, our voice is very important there as well, because we're filling a vacuum on both fronts. So you'll see us getting more and more active. This is an exciting time, and you'll see more and more things happening. You're going to see us hopefully playing a bigger and bigger role in influencing the way people think. Okay, let's go now to our questions from our great JTFers. And we start out with Yamach Shmoda Islam, who writes, and I quote, "Dear Chaim, do you know about the Jimmy Snuka murder case that happened 32 years ago?" Okay. Well, Jimmy Snuka is a professional wrestler, and his girlfriend was found with dozens of cuts and bruises all over her body in his hotel room. She was severely injured. He called up 911. He called up an ambulance, and they found her severely injured in the hotel room with dozens of cuts and bruises all over her body. Now, you know, when someone has cuts and bruises all over their body, that means they've been beaten. I mean, that's, you know, obviously somebody beat them, because if you have cuts and bruises on your arms, legs, all over, all your body parts, that almost always means that you've been beaten, that somebody has beaten you. She also had severe brain injury, and shortly thereafter she died. She died. So I think it's obvious that, you know, that this guy murdered her, and I believe he's guilty. I believe he's guilty. He did murder her. And he's charged with murder, and I hope justice is done in this case. Thank you very much, Yamach Shmoda Islam. We go now to Joe Gutfeld, who writes, and I quote, "Shalom Chaim, what do you think of the part of the Iran deal that if Israel attacks Iran, the U.S. will have to defend Iran? Thanks," unquote. That's very true, that Barack Hussein Obama, Hillary Clinton, and John Kerry put in their agreement with Iran a clause where the United States is obligated to protect Iran against Israel staging airstrikes on the Iranian nuclear bomb-making program. In other words, the United States has to protect Iran's nuclear bomb-making program from an Israeli preemptive airstrike. So, obviously, this agreement shows the United States is now on Iran's side against Israel. Do I think that if Bibi Netanyahu tomorrow announced that he, or didn't announce, but just sent the Israeli Air Force to attack the Iranian program, do I think the United States would intervene against Israel to protect Iran? No, I don't think the United States would do that, because there wouldn't be enough support in America for that. This is an official part of the agreement. I don't think that will happen if Israel does strike Iran. I don't think it will happen, at least not in the near future. So Israel can still strike if Israel wants to strike. The United States is not going to start sending up American jets to start fighting with Israeli pilots. That's not going to happen. To protect the Iranians, that's not going to happen. But the mere fact that they put this in the agreement shows that they want to build support for the day when they will be able to do this, and when they will be able to support a nuclear-armed Iran against Israel. That's the real dream of Obama, Clinton, and Kerry, these vicious anti-Semites, and these supporters of Muslim mass murder. They are supporters of the Muslim purveyors of genocide, and they are committed to doing everything they can to hurt Israel and destroy Israel, and that's something that we should understand. Nobody would put this in the agreement unless they had the worst intentions for Israel. Unless they have the worst intentions, and they do have the worst intentions. They don't care if Iran goes nuclear. In fact, I believe that they actually want Iran to go nuclear. And they said so, by the way, on background to the Washington Post. They were saying, they did interviews, saying that we'd like Iran to go nuclear in order to counter Israel's nuclear program. There have been people in the Obama administration that have said that honestly and openly. They're so obviously filled with hatred for Israel and so obviously support all of Israel's enemies. Thank you, Joe. We go now to Lewinsky Stinks, Dr. Brennan Rocks, who writes, and I quote, "How long until U.S. public opinion wants a war against Israel," unquote. I don't know, but it is a possibility that you're going to have that. And of course, eventually, with Gog and Magog, we read in the Bible that eventually the nations of the world are going to want to wage war to destroy Israel. So that eventually is going to come. Will there be enough support in the United States to do something like that from public opinion? Who knows when that's coming? Who knows when that's coming? But obviously, this makes the presidential election next year so critical, because we have a president now, and we have people like Hillary Clinton and John Kerry, that when it's not an election year, they will do everything they can to incite the American people against Israel and to create a situation where the United States can actually militarily intervene against Israel. Lewinsky Stinks now writes, "Why do so many Israelis want the Syrian refugees, quote-unquote, in their country," unquote. Okay, that's a very good question. And by the way, this week we did a video on that subject in Hebrew where we said that Israel should not accept any of the Syrian Muslim Nazis that are leaving Syria. I mean, it's so obvious that Israel shouldn't accept that. You know, there are, as you mentioned, insane, suicidal Israelis that want to open Israel's doors up to a floodgate of Arabs flooding into Israel and taking over Israel. You have crazy Israeli Jews that want this. So it's, you know, what you see in Germany and Austria and Hungary and Croatia and all these European countries, they want that to happen to tiny Israel in the Middle East. Of course, where Israel is situated, and because Israel is so tiny, and because Israel already has millions of Arab Muslim Nazis in the country, if that happened, they would wipe Israel out very quickly. And there are quite a few Israelis who think this is the humane thing to do, that this is what they should do. You know, our movement is one movement that is openly saying this is insane, we should never accept any of them, and we should get rid of the Arab Muslim Nazis who are already in Israel. We should never allow any more in, and the ones that are already in Israel, we should throw out. We should either throw them out or give them compensation to leave if they're citizens or if they're there legally. Lewinsky Stinks now writes, and I quote, "Could Carly Fiorina be a closet mooly, and could Bernie Sanders be Gog?" Okay, interesting question. Interesting to use the term mooly. Mooly is a term that I haven't heard someone use that in quite a while, because there aren't many Italian-Americans left in New York City. They all left New York City. I grew up with Italian-Americans, but they all left New York City. Mooly is like an Italian slang word for blacks. And it actually comes, the actual word for eggplant, it comes from the Italian word for eggplant. The actual word for eggplant in Italian is melanzana. And Italian, though, but in some Italian, in the Italian dialects, they also use the word mulignan. And from mulignan, they got the word muli. In other words, eggplant being black, so they refer to blacks as mulis. I don't know here if you're referring to Muslim. I think here you meant Muslim. In regard to Muli, it could mean just a dark person, but it usually means blacks. It usually means blacks. But I'm going to assume you mean Muslim. Is Carly Fiorina a Muslim, a secret Muslim? No, I don't think she's a secret Muslim, but she certainly did business with the Muslims. She deliberately circumvented the Iranian sanctions that were on Iran because of their terrorist activity and mass murder and because of their nuclear bomb-making program. There have been sanctions on Iran over the year, or there were sanctions. And when that happened, it was a felony to sell things to Iran. And she, using a European subsidiary, had HP, when she was running HP, she had Hewlett-Packard, ship huge numbers of printers and computers and other things that are essential to the Iranian economy. She had them shipped to Iran. So she has her history of breaking the Iranian sanctions program for profit, and this is the type of evil phony she is. We're going to be doing, God willing, we'll be doing more videos on her if she becomes more and more of a serious threat. We already did one this week, as you know, and hopefully we'll be doing more. But that she has a history of helping Iran, dealing with Iran, even breaking the law, and to, in order to break the Iranian sanctions when she was running Hewlett-Packard. As far as Bernie Sanders, could he be Gog? Well, Gog, of course, is the leader of Magog. Magog, this is all in the Bible. This is from the biblical, this is from the Nevi'im, this is from the prophets. We were told at the end of days there's going to be a nation called Magog, which is going to be the leading nation in the world's leading superpower. And Magog is going to be run by a leader named Gog. And they're going to lead a worldwide coalition to destroy Israel. Could Bernie Sanders be the person who would do that? Who knows? Who knows? I don't know. I know that he's very anti-Israel. I know that he's viciously anti-Israel. He's the ultimate example of a Jewish anti-Semite. So, you never know. Anything's possible. Thank you, Lewinsky Stinks. We go now to PMN, who writes, and I quote, "Is anti-Semitism overrepresented on the internet by a fringe minority, or a phenomenon of everyday people expressing themselves in anonymity?" Unquote. I think it's a phenomenon of people expressing themselves in anonymity. I think that there's very widespread anti-Semitism. And I think you see on the internet, you see people coming out of the closet and showing just how much they hate the Jewish people. I think it's very, very widespread. Thank you, PMN. We go now to Binyamin Yisrael, who writes, and I quote, "One, are you happy that Muslim aliens are coming to Europe?" Unquote. Well, I have two different mixed feelings about it. I have two different opposing views on this. Because, you know, we live in a world of tikkun olam. Tikkun olam means correction of the world. This is an imperfect world. And so many times there are things with positive elements to it and negative elements to it. That's part of the world we live in, because we're supposed to be correcting things. That's the way God set the world up. And this is a perfect example. There's good and bad in the Muslim aliens coming to Europe. The good part is that the Europeans, the vast majority of Europeans, are Nazi Jew haters who want Israel destroyed and who for 2,000 years murdered, raped, and tortured the Jewish people and are trying to destroy Israel now. Vicious, vicious Jew haters, the vast majority of Europeans. Not all, but the vast majority are. And they're getting justice. They're getting a measure of justice when this happens. When Muslims come and overrun their communities and come into their countries, this is just a taste of justice for all the terrible things they've done over the years and for all of their immorality and their evil behavior. That's the good part of it. That's the part that I like. I like to see justice done against evil people. But there's also a flip side to this. There's also a bad part of this. And the bad part of this is the fact that what happens if Muslims become a large minority and an influential, powerful minority in European countries, as is already, you know, we see it already happening. And what if they actually take over European countries? What if Muslim money from the Persian Gulf, they buy up the major companies and industries in a country, and then they become a big enough part of the population that they actually effectively take control of a European country? Having Muslims in charge of European countries with their very advanced technology is very dangerous. That would make this a very dangerous world. So I have mixed feelings. On the one hand, I'm glad the Europeans are getting screwed. They deserve it. Everything bad that could happen to them, they deserve. On the other hand, I'm concerned about Muslims taking over European countries with advanced technology. Having Muslims controlling that advanced technology would make this a dangerous world to live in. So I have mixed feelings. Binyamin writes now to discuss these blacks. Janet Jackson, okay, there are three blacks here. Okay, first we have Janet Jackson. Well, you know, Janet Jackson is Michael Jackson's youngest sister, a completely immoral slut. I mean, just a slut. She, of course, has exposed her body on TV. She exposed her breast on TV. She's exposed her body in magazines. She's a complete slut, just like everyone else in that hideous family. And of course, who's she married to? An Arab Muslim oil billionaire. She married this Arab Muslim, I don't remember what his name is, but I know she's married to this Persian Gulf Muslim oil billionaire. She's the scum of the earth, just like her brother Michael Jackson was, and like the whole Jackson family. Pure scum. And then Binyamin asks about LaToya Jackson. LaToya Jackson is another slut and another one of Michael Jackson's sisters. And by the way, all the Jackson family, have had massive plastic surgery. You know, all the these two women, for instance, they just like their brother Michael Jackson, they had massive plastic surgery in order to make their noses and their facial features look more white. You know, they do everything to look white, this family. I mean, they're ashamed to be black. It's just, it's incredible. You know, they did a plastic surgery job on these women. I mean, just unbelievable. But, just so that you'll know, they're ashamed of the way they were born and the way they look. They're ashamed of that. And they did massive plastic surgery that I assume is very expensive. They probably went to the best plastic surgeons in the world, and I assume it's very expensive. Again, in order to try to, get rid of their black heritage. And now Benjamin asks about Imamu Baraka. Imamu Baraka's real name is Leroy Jones. Was Leroy Jones. Thank God he's now in Jehennem. He's now in hell, in Gehenom in Hebrew. This is the black Nazi so-called poet. Jew boy with your yarmulke on your head. You pale-faced Jew boy, I wish you was dead. That's some of the wonderful poetry that this animal wrote. And, you know, of course, wrote about 9/11, that the Jews were responsible for 9/11, and that the Jews, you know, none of the Jews went to work that day because they all knew that the attack was going to take place. This was all a Jewish plot. You know, and obviously, you know, I, of course, have Jewish friends who were murdered in the World Trade Center on 9/11. So, of course, it's, you know, I'm not even going to bother to say this is absurd. If anybody doesn't think this is absurd, we don't want you in JTF if you think that that's possible. But anyway, this black Nazi pig blamed 9/11 on the Jews and wrote the most vicious Nazi articles against Jews. And who was his wife? His wife was Cohen. You know, he had a wife in the 60s, Cohen. You know, so this shows you, you know, and then later on, you know, he turned against Jews. I mean, just this, the most disgusting individual. And now his son, Ras Baraka. That's his son. He be the mayor of Newark, New Jersey. Newark, New Jersey is the biggest city in the state of New Jersey. And the mayor of Newark, New Jersey be the brother, Ras Baraka. That's his son. They made him the mayor of Newark, New Jersey. What a wonderful commentary on today's Black America. Thank you, Benjamin Yisrael. And we go now to Smash Islam, who writes, and I quote, one, was Mobutu Seko backstabbed by U.S., unquote. Well, Mobutu Seko was the dictator of the Congo. And he later on became a so-called anti-communist. He said he was anti-communist. And he voted certain ways because he wanted to get support from the United States, from Israel, from the European world. He was responsible, of course, like all the dictators in Africa, responsible for the bloodiest, most unbelievable civil wars and actions against his own people, brutal bloodbaths that always take place in Africa, and he was part of all of that. I mean, just a really monstrous tyrant to his own people. Aside from that, I don't know much more, but certainly no source of black pride. None of the black leaders in Africa should bring any pride to black people. They're all vicious, brutal, bloodthirsty monsters. And he was one of them. Was he backstabbed by the U.S. and the U.S. then turned on him? Now, maybe. I don't know. I don't know enough about that. I just know that he was a brutal monster. And I think the U.S. should stay out of Africa and not be involved. Just leave the Africans to themselves, to their own devices. I don't think the U.S. should be there. Smash Islam now writes, too, Jimmy Kimmel survey kids on fag marriage, unquote. Well, all of Hollywood and Jimmy Kimmel and television, they're all trying to brainwash people. You know, American kids are undergoing nonstop brainwashing to support everything that's evil, everything that's immoral. That's all they do day and night, is brainwash innocent children. And this is, you know, this is what they do. And this is what we're fighting against. These are the forces of evil that we fight against. And Jimmy Kimmel and all the other animals in Hollywood and on television, they're all part of this. They're all part of this. Non-stop homosexual propaganda, abortion propaganda, pro-Muslim propaganda, pro-black propaganda. nonstop, day and night, day and night. Smash Islam Now writes, 3, Michael Sewage says Muslims and Orthodox Jews are one and the same, unquote. Yeah, well, Michael Savage or Michael Sewage, I like that, Michael Sewage, that's pretty good, Smash Islam, very good. Michael Sewage, of course, is a Jewish anti-Semite, he always has been. He hates Judaism, he makes fun of Judaism, he hates Israel, and, I mean, sometimes because of his evangelical Christian listeners who stupidly listen to his evil program, sometimes he'll say things that seem to be pro-Israel, but in fact, he has a long history of saying things that are very anti-Israel. He is the ultimate example of a sick, self-hating Jew. Let's hope that Hashem, that God takes him from us. He should die of cancer, Bezrat Hashem, or die, and die of a million other diseases. My wonderful mother, my wonderful saintly mother, she unfortunately had cancer on her arm, and thank God she doesn't. She seems to be cancer-free now, thank God, Baruch Hashem. She should remain cancer-free, and she should remain healthy, healthy and live ad mea ve'esrim until 120. She should be healthy and cancer-free, and all the good people should be healthy and cancer-free. But what my mother had on her arm, Michael Sewage should have all over his body. Yamach Shmo v'zichro. May his name and memory be obliterated. Thank you, Smash Islam. And we go now to Baltimore, who writes, and I quote, "Will Huckabee drop out before Iowa? Thanks," unquote. I wish he would. He probably won't, but I wish he would. He usually sticks in there, and even when he has no chance of winning, and he has no chance of winning. But he's taking votes away from Ted Cruz. Now, I love Mike Huckabee. I think Mike Huckabee is a genuine friend of Israel and the Jewish people. He's the other... Ted Cruz and Mike Huckabee, the only two real friends we have in this race. They are the two truly pro-Israel, pro-Jewish candidates. And so I really, really love Mike Huckabee. And you know, we supported him in 2008. So I really, and I wanted him to run last time in 2012 when I thought he did have a chance, but this time he doesn't. I hope he'll drop out. Let's see. I'll tell you who I do think will drop out before Iowa. Let's see if I'm right. I mean, sometimes I'm right, sometimes I'm wrong. We'll see. I think Scott Walker is going to drop out. I think Scott Walker is going to drop out. And that's also competition for Ted Cruz, so that would be good for us. And I think there's a good chance that you're going to have people like Bobby Jindal and George Pataki and other various, and even maybe even Rick Santorum, they may all drop out because they're going nowhere. And Lindsey Graham, they're going nowhere. I think all of them may drop out as well. Thank you, Baltimore. We go now, and by the way, the more that drop out, the better. Because the fewer people involved in debates and everything, on the more airtime that Ted Cruz gets, because he's the best debater and the best speaker, the more airtime he gets, the better for us. Thank you, Baltimore. We go now to Dr. Dan, the voice of reason, common sense, and logic, who writes, and I quote, "One, discuss Coulter's recent effing Jew comment," unquote. Okay, for those of you who haven't seen it, Ann Coulter, this phony anti-Semite, she complained that Ted Cruz and some of the other candidates were mentioning Israel, especially about Ted Cruz. She complained that he keeps bringing up Israel and talking about how much he supports Israel. And she said, "How many effing Jews are there in the United States?" That's what she said. I mean, you can't get more anti-Semitic than that. So she's made anti-Semitic remarks in the past as well. So she's a disgusting person. And that's Donald Trump's big supporter. That's her. That's the big booster of Donald Trump. You know, she also supported in the past, 4 years ago, she said her dream candidate would have been Chris Christie. For years, she said the dream candidate, the best candidate, the ultimate candidate would be Chris Christie. She said she dreams and fantasizes about Chris Christie being the Republican candidate for president. This was her dream. And when Chris Christie didn't run 4 years ago, she said the best candidate, the one who would definitely win, is Mitt Romney. Well, we saw how far that got us. So she has, her record is terrible. What she recommends is terrible. Everything she suggested that Republicans do is terrible. She's just a complete disaster, and she's an anti-Semite. Dr. Day now writes, 2, if souls can be reincarnated into animals, plants, rocks, does that mean they have souls, unquote? Dr. Dan, I don't know how this would work, and I don't know if this is true. I mean, this is, there's a machloket, there's a disagreement about this. It may be true. It may be true that when people do bad things in this world, that God, in order to cleanse their soul, puts them through a period. You know, I'll tell you why God does things to cleanse people's souls. Why people sometimes spend a certain amount of time in hell and then are taken out of hell and then they are in the next world, then they are in paradise. Or why people would be reincarnated, why they'd be brought back to this world. Because certain people that God does love and that are really basically good people do bad things. They do bad things that God can't forgive. Harmful things to other people, things that God can't forgive. And so sometimes he will do things to cleanse them. For instance, let's say somebody makes a woman pregnant. Makes a woman pregnant. Because of the Yetzer Hara, the evil inclination. The guy sleeps with a woman, makes her pregnant, and then abandons her. And the child is brought up and doesn't get the proper upbringing, and the person just basically washes his hands and doesn't do anything and brings someone into the world outside of marriage. Now, and then later on the person feels regret and feels sorry and realizes that they did wrong and they beg God for forgiveness. But they can't erase the consequences of the bad things they've already done. They already brought somebody into the world in a way that shouldn't be done. They already let this person be brought up without values, and the person maybe would be a bad person because of that. They already created a situation which you can't go back and erase. You can't go back and erase these things, especially when you do sin between one person and another. If you cause another person to sin, how do you do tshuva? How do you repent for causing someone else to sin? For your own sins, you can repent. You can do tshuva. But when you cause someone else to sin, you can't repent for them. So there's certain things. That how do you cleanse a person who does things and they can't erase the consequences of what they've done to make this world a worse place and to hurt other people? How do you erase the consequences? There's only one way, and that's through Yisurim and Inuyim. Yisurim and Inuyim is torture and torment. The soul has to be tortured and tormented in order to cleanse the soul of the terrible things, because there has to be. God is a God of justice. He's a God of mercy, but he's also a God of justice. And so sometimes God does things that to cleanse the soul that involve terrible pain. That's why people in this world sometimes go through terrible pain in this life. Terrible pain and terrible things happen to them because their soul is being cleansed of wrong things they've done. If they're truly repentant. And now if they're not repentant, then they're going through the pain and it's not helping anyway because they're still guilty and so they have to be repentant, but if they're truly repentant and truly want to change their ways, but have done things that you can't take back anymore, the only way to do it is through kapara, means atonement, and through cleansing of the soul. And so, Chazal, the rabbis, speak about possible ways that God can cleanse the soul of people who have done things that are bad. And whether or not this is literal, that people literally come back and become animals or plants or rocks, whether or not that's literal, I don't know if it's literal. I don't know if it literally happens or not. So I can't tell you what it would mean or what that would entail, because I just don't know. Thank you, Dr. Dan. We go now to Hiram, who writes, and I quote, Shalom, is there a substitute for Aliyah for righteous Gentiles, unquote. Well, Aliyah means, of course, moving to Israel, living in Israel. The righteous Gentiles don't need a substitute. They're not obligated to move to Israel. They're not required to. The righteous Gentiles have seven commandments that they have to follow. And then they can take on additional commandments. There are additional commandments they can take on if they wish to. They're not required to take on the additional commandments, but they can if they wish to. The situation for the righteous Gentiles is, of course, more lenient and easier than what it is for Jews. The situation for Jews is much stricter and much more difficult. And Jews are judged in a much stricter light. Righteous Gentiles are not judged as harshly as Jews are on the Day of Judgment, because Jews are expected to know better because they're expected to follow 613 commandments. But one of the things Jews must do, Jews are required to live in Israel. It is a mitzvah. And the Gentiles are not. Righteous Gentiles can live in their own countries, they're perfectly fine, and they're doing God's will as long as they live according to the laws that God commands them to live by in their own countries. They're not required to move to the Jewish state. Chidam now writes, what does the Tanakh being the Bible, teach us about the prophet Ezekiel and the archangel Michael, unquote? Okay. First of all, the prophet is Ezekiel, Yechezkel Hanavi in Hebrew. Yechezkel is Ezekiel and Hanavi means the prophet. Yechezkel Hanavi was one of the greatest prophets in history. He prophesied after the destruction of the first temple and the Babylonian exile. And anyone who reads his book sees magnificent prophecies, some of the greatest prophecies telling about the end days. And he goes through a whole range. I mean, it's a big book in the Bible. The book of Ezekiel is a big book in the Bible. And he prophesizes about the Babylonian exile, the return from the Babylonian exile, then about the expulsion of Israel again, this time with the long Roman exile. I mean, he prophesies about all of these things and the final redemption and what is called Acharit Hayamim, which means the end of days. A lot of magnificent, powerful, inspiring prophecy from him about resurrection of the dead and the end of days and just the way the world will be. A lot of powerful stuff in the prophet Ezekiel's in what the prophet Ezekiel teaches us. So he's definitely one of the greatest prophets in history, and excuse me, and there's a lot to learn from Yechezkel Hanavi, from the prophet Ezekiel. And of course, the rabbis do tremendous commentary because a lot of what he says, it's all parables and symbolism and very complex language and all types of different levels of understanding. There's a simple level of understanding what he's saying, and then there are much deeper levels. And so we have to really look look into the deeper meaning of what he was saying when he speaks about the end of time, or the end of days. Hiram now asks about the archangel Michael, which Michael in Hebrew is Michael. The Tanakh, the Bible, doesn't speak much about the angels. First of all, the angels are absolutely loyal servants of God. They blindly follow everything God tells them to do. And by the way, we should all be absolutely loyal servants of God. We as human beings are not absolutely loyal servants because we have free will. Angels don't have free will. Angels are absolutely obedient to God. Down to the last detail, angels are absolutely obedient. They don't have the Yetzer Hara, the evil inclination. Whereas we have the evil inclination and the good inclination. We have two forces fighting in our soul all the time. We have two forces fighting. Our soul is actually good. Our body, though, wants us to do evil things. So there's always this constant battle taking place. And again, the Jewish view is that the angels are absolutely loyal to God. They have no free will. And they're his loyal servants. And Michael is one of the people that is in the book of Daniel, Sefer Daniel, Daniel the prophet, Daniel in Hebrew, in English. Daniel the prophet. I shouldn't have said Daniel the prophet because there's a dispute about whether or not he was a Navi, whether he was a prophet. There's a question about that. There's a dispute about that. But we have the book of Daniel, a great Jewish figure, a great Jewish leader. And Michael, the angel in parables, is mentioned three times there. Again, with very deep meanings about what he's going to do and the things and his role and what he carries out. But the main thing to remember again is that angels have no free will. They have no parents. They don't have any parents. They don't have families. They don't have children. They're created by God for specific purposes to perform specific tasks. And of course they are thinking beings, but they follow exactly what God tells them to do down to the last detail, unlike human beings who can go either way. Thank you, Hiram. We go now to Chicago Jew, who writes, and I quote, your opinion of a boycott of the upcoming ICEGA conference, unquote. Well, the ICEGA is the Christian embassy in Jerusalem, the International Christian Embassy. As you know, I very much am for the evangelical Christians who support Israel, but if they're involved in missionary activities, if they're trying to convert Jews, we don't want their support. We want their support if they have decided that they want to bless Israel because God says you have to, and with unconditional love. You know, when you love somebody, you should do it with no strings attached in an unconditional way, otherwise your love is phony. And with unconditional love, we should support good people and good causes. That's how we should approach things. When you put conditions and if you're trying to convert people and you have an ulterior motive, that's phony. We don't want their support if they're going to do missionary activity. Now, there are claims that they are engaged in missionary activity. They're going to have Israeli soldiers at the conference. And if they're going to do that together with spreading doctrine and Christian theology, that's missionary activity. Then they should be boycotted. I don't know all the details. But I know the two chief rabbis of Israel have said that there's a problem with this group, that they do engage in missionary activity, encourage missionary activity, and that would be very bad because they're causing a real problem. They're causing a schism between evangelical Christians and Jews, and that's a crime to do that because we should be allies. But we should not be insulting each other and coming to each other and putting down each other's religious beliefs and saying, you got to believe like me or else, because then we can't be allies. We have to respect each other. And missionary activity is one way, is showing contempt for the religious beliefs of Jews. So if they're guilty of that, then they should be boycotted. But again, I can't make a final judgment because I just don't know all the facts and all the details. There have been a lot of reports about them being involved in missionary activity, and that would be very, very bad if they're doing that. They're actually giving a bad name to evangelical Christians who are pro-Israel, and that's a shame if they're doing that. That's a shame. Thank you, Chicago Jew, because there are evangelical Christians who do support Israel and don't try to convert Jews and missionize and don't put strings attached. They support Israel just because the Bible says you're supposed to do that. And those, you know, it's a shame if they're going to cause problems so that we can't work together. That's something we shouldn't have. Thank you, Chicago Jew. And now we move on to Kalman Ben Menachem, who writes, and I quote, Reb Chaim, who best articulated Obama's political philosophy, the Reverend Jeremiah Wright or the signer at the Mandela funeral? Thank you, unquote. Do you remember the sign, the guy giving the signs, supposedly for the, what the Kalman is referring to? I don't know if you remember this. At Nelson Mandela's funeral, Yimach Shmo V'Zichro, that hideous terrorist, mass-murdering, Jew-hating animal, at his funeral, you had someone with sign language for people who were unable to hear, for people who are deaf. And this guy who was doing the sign language for hours, he was there doing the sign language, the Schwarzer, he was doing the sign language. He wasn't doing any real sign language. It was just nonsense. He was just moving his hands around and pretending to do sign language, and there was no real sign language there. It was all a farce. And they let it go on for hours. Can you imagine this? So Kalman is asking, what is Obama's best political philosophy? Just the, you know, someone doing sign language that isn't sign language or Jeremiah Wright? I'll go with Jeremiah Wright. I think Jeremiah Wright's hatred, his fanatic, bitter, vicious hatred toward Jews and whites, and toward all decent people, I think that is Barack Hussein Obama's true political philosophy. He's a racist and an anti-Semite and a hater. Thank you, Kalman. We go now to Guns N' Roses fan, who writes, and I quote, Shalom Chaim, what do you think of the following men? One, Waleed Shubat. Waleed Shubat is someone who was a Muslim terrorist, who was in the PLO, and he converted to Christianity, he became a Christian, and now he basically is a preacher, a Christian preacher. I think he's a courageous guy. I don't know if I agree with everything he says. There might be some things he says that I don't agree with, so I'm not endorsing him, because there may be some of the things he says I may not share his view on, but I think he's a gutsy guy, and I think a lot of the stuff that he does, a lot of the stuff that he exposes is pretty good. Guns N' Roses fan now writes to Craig Wynn. Well, Craig Wynn is, of course, I don't know if you're aware of this, Guns N' Roses fan, but Craig Wynn is someone that I know who was on my television program, did eight different television shows with me. We did eight television shows together, made videos. Some of those videos are still on YouTube, if you can try to find them, but some of the videos I did together with Craig Wynn are on YouTube to this day and have thousands of views. Craig Wynn is a Christian who wrote Prophet of Doom and exposes aspects of Islam. I think Craig Wynn sincerely is trying to expose Islam. Unfortunately, he does mix in a missionary message sometimes into a lot of what he does, so it was difficult for me to continue to do programs with him. But there are Christians that don't do that. You know, we've been speaking about that lately, but there are Christians who don't do that. And the Christians who don't do that, of course, are in JTF, and we get along very well, and we work very well, as we should. But he finds it almost impossible to resist getting in missionary messages in a lot of what he does, so it's a problem. It creates a barrier. On a personal level, I like Craig. On a personal level, I like Craig Wynn. He's a very nice person. He's a very nice person, a very likable person. Thank you, Guns N' Roses fan. We go to Uncle Bourbon, who writes, and I quote, "The word neocon is used as a pejorative to refer to anyone who supports Israel. What are your thoughts on this?" Unquote. I also think it's a code word for Jews, even though the people they're referring to is neocons, like George W. Bush and Dick Cheney and a lot of the other people that they refer to, you know, they are not Jewish. But it is a term that in many cases, a lot of people that use the term are anti-Semites. It is a code word for Jews. And the absurd part about it is all the anti-Semites, the Ron Paul, Rand Paul, Alex Jones crowd, they claim that that the neocons are just out to help Israel and are distorting American policy and got us into the war in Iraq to help Israel. The war in Iraq was terrible for Israel. So it's a complete lie. It was terrible for Israel. It helped Iran, which is building nuclear bombs. It was terrible. So these people who are called neocons are very often the worst enemies of Israel. Paul Wolfowitz is a self-hating Jew, he's a Jewish anti-Semite, a self-hating Jew, who is the ultimate example of a neocon to these people. They always use him as the example because he was the one pushing for the war in Iraq. He is viciously anti-Israel. Viciously anti-Israel. Demands that Israel commit national suicide. Viciously anti-Israel. And he's a Jew who's involved, who they refer to as a neocon. So this is all the claim that these establishment individuals are doing what they're doing in order to help Israel. Is the ultimate lie. The people in the establishment in Washington, Republican and Democrat, in the establishment, are the enemies of Israel and are the worst examples of pursuing every policy that endangers Israel and endangers Israel's survival. So this is all based upon lies. It's based upon lies. The whole premise of what they're saying is a complete lie. They claim that American Jews do what they do also to help Israel. I wish American Jews were doing everything they could to help Israel. We know that's a lie. We know that American Jews usually vote for and support the worst enemies of Israel, like Obama and like Hillary Clinton. Most American Jews voted for these animals that hurt Israel. How many American Jews are supporting Ted Cruz, who is the best friend of Israel? So, you know, the claim, it's all based upon fallacies and mythology and lies. Thank you, Uncle Bourbon. We go now to Black Sabbath, who writes, and I quote, "What do you think of Barack Hussein Obama involving the Muslim clock schoolboy to the White House?" Unquote. Well, this is just another example of Obama is such an obvious Muslim piece of dreck. I mean, just the lowest of the low. Obama is, you know, he shows that he's so obvious. You know, he's so obvious. He wants to show now anti-Muslim bigotry. I mean, the whole Muslim world is screaming and yelling death to America, death to all the infidels, death to Israel, death to the Christians, death to the Jews, and he's worried about a kid that supposedly made a clock. This 14-year-old kid who made a clock, who, by the way, is a religious Muslim, his family are religious Muslims. That kid shouldn't be in America, and neither should his family. Okay? They hate this country. They believe in a religion that hates this country. They shouldn't even be here. And now he's being turned by Obama and Hillary Clinton and the news media into some sort of hero. It really shows what we're dealing with. And two, Black Sabbath writes, two, Barack Hussein Obama is a Muslim. Trump's stance is right. Trump Cruise 2016? Question mark. Oh, Black Sabbath, I'm surprised that you would say that. I'm surprised. Yes, Obama is a Muslim. And yes, when you say Trump's stance is right, no, his stance is not right on this issue or on any other issue. No, his stance is not right. Did you see him say today when we're doing this video, did you see him say, I love the Muslims? That's a quote. He said, I love the Muslims. The majority of them are fabulous people. He used the word fabulous, wonderful. Those are the words he used to describe Muslims in America. He loves the Muslims, he says. He says, but some of them there are problems with. But he says he loves most Muslims. He loves the Muslims. No, his stance is not right. And how could you suggest Trump for president, Black Sabbath? Have you seen our videos exposing this guy? Have you seen what he stands for? How could you suggest something like that? I mean, come on. Look at our videos. Look at what we've exposed on our site. Go and look up Donald Trump stuff on our forum, on our videos, on our main page. How could you suggest something like this? Thank you for the question. Now we're going to Israel Chai, who writes, and I quote, what are Ted Cruz's chances of winning? Unquote. Unfortunately, the odds are overwhelmingly against him. I don't know. Maybe 5%. But we're still going with him. We're still going to go with him. Maybe 5%, maybe 10%. But 5% or 10% is still a chance. He has a chance. It's not zero. And we're going to go with him. And we're going to try our best. If, God forbid, he loses, then we'll see who the Republicans nominate. And we'll see if we can support the Republican candidates. Some of the Republican candidates would be very hard to support because they're just terrible. We'll see. We'll see. We're going to try our best. It's an uphill battle. It's an uphill battle. And the odds are against us. But we're going to try our best. Yisrael Chai now writes, what should he do to win? Unquote. I think that he should continue to do what I think he should concentrate on the early states, on Iowa, New Hampshire, South Carolina, Nevada, on the first four early states. And I think he's got to find a way to get more attention. Because when he gets attention, when the spotlight is on him, he's the best speaker and the best debater. He's got to find ways to get more attention. And he should not be concerned about them attacking him if he pushes against Planned Parenthood, for instance, in the Congress and so on. He has to take control of these issues and take control of the agenda and force the news media to pay attention to him. Israel Chai now writes, which Republican and Democrat candidates are the biggest threat to him? Unquote. Well, the Democratic candidates, I don't know which Democratic candidates are a threat to him. There are only three Democratic candidates now that are probably going to run. Looks now, unless somebody else jumps in, which is possible. But the three Democratic candidates, of course, are Hillary Clinton, Joe Biden, and Bernie Sanders. I think Bernie Sanders would be the weakest Democratic candidate because he's an admitted socialist and such a radical. I think he'd be the weakest. I don't know if there any of the Democrats are a real threat to him in terms of if he got the Republican nomination. I think he would be a strong candidate. I think he'd have a good shot at winning if he got the nomination. As far as the Republican candidates that are a threat to him, the ones who are taking votes away from him, the biggest is Donald Trump. Donald Trump is taking votes away from him, taking the people that are anti-establishment, which should be his natural constituency. That is Ted Cruz. That should be natural Ted Cruz voters. Donald Trump is taking votes away from him. Now even Carly Fiorina, who is a complete establishment phony, she's taking votes away from him. Of course, Rand Paul, who claims to be a libertarian. Some of the libertarians like Ted Cruz also. It would be good if Rand Paul weren't in the race. Mike Huckabee really hurts him. Mike Huckabee splits the evangelical vote with him. So he's got, there are a number of candidates there that cause problems for him, that really cause problems for him. But we have what we have. We have the, you know, you dealt the hand, whatever the hand you're dealt with, you've got to play that hand. And he's got to do the best he can under the circumstances. And now, final question from Israel Chai, his strongest issue. To me, his strongest issue is Iran. But I don't think he has any one strong, it depends who he's speaking to. I don't think he has any one strongest issue. I think Iran is a very strong issue. I think Israel is a very strong issue. I think religious liberty and the anti-Christian persecution that's taking place in this country is a very strong issue. I think there are a number of issues that are very compelling that he has to be pushing very hard in order to make a difference. And again, if he just gets the airtime he needs and the attention he needs, I think remember I said he has a 5 or 10% chance of winning. Then I think his chances of winning go up a lot if he can just get a lot of attention. Thank you, Israel Chai. And I want to thank everybody for another program that I very much enjoy doing. Until next week, Shalom.